the background of that is artwork that Carol Bowe did.
Oh, wow.
And Carol Bowe used to work at Maximus, which I did also, and so also your friend Kate.
Yes.
Now she's in Texas, and she's been posting a lot of her current artwork on Facebook. And this one she called Butterfly, and I thought it was just a beautiful, mm-hmm. beautiful picture. So our theme today is expectancy, and some of the most exciting periods of our lives are the times of anticipation, counting the days to our birthdays. Do any of you remember expecting to turn 16 and how long it took to get there? What a joy that was. And how about 21? It seemed like forever to get to be 21 and be this adult. Little did we know. But there was a lot of anticipation with that. And then, of course, things like graduation and counting the days to Christmas, starting a new job, all of those things are joyful periods for us. The newlyweds anticipating their honeymoon, their new life together. So many dreams and plans. Beautiful period of time. I love this picture of the expectant parents. They're filled with wonder and joy, looking forward to seeing their child for the first time and holding him or her in their arms. And this joyful picture is all the women in the family touching the baby, sharing the joy with the mother. A lot of anticipation there for the arrival of a new member of the family. And here's Jeannie with her new baby. This is puppy Tori. New baby. And Jeannie's so thrilled with her. And we expect that they will have a long and happy time together.
Yeah.
And these are my babies.
Yay.
We had kind of an interesting thing with their names. I originally named the white one Lucky and the black one Sparky. Well, my grandson, who's 28, lives with me. Can't get rid of him, he's been with me forever. He decided that I should call them Monty and Carlo. And I didn't really want to do that. Well, it ended up that the black one ended up being named Carlos. So he's now Carlos, and the other one is Samson, which I guess is appropriate because he's the alpha male. He's the dominant big shot guy. And it was really interesting how I got them. 2 years ago, my most favorite kitty in my whole life passed away. He was 16. And just this year, I started feeling like I wanted to get another kitten. And had my heart set on getting a white cat again. And one of my landscape customers is an animal hospital. Actually, there's four of them. I've landscaped three of them so far. And I was at the Falls Church office, and I saw a photo on the wall of someone advertising kittens. So I called, and they weren't ready to be picked up, but I told the lady I wanted the white one. She said, well, you know, it's really good if you could take two of them, because they do so well together having company. And I kept saying to her, no. And, you know, weeks went by, I kept saying, no, I just want one. So I went to pick him up, and she said, are you sure you don't want to take two? And you know, it was kind of a spur of the moment. And I says, okay, well, I'll take the little black one, too. And it was interesting because they're such different personalities. And I'm so happy that I got both of them because they play together. They sleep together. They just have such a great time. And I enjoy them both so very much. And I read the other day something that I thought was really, really nice. It said that God hugs us through people, and God purrs his satisfaction through cats. And every night when I go to sleep, I have two little purrs curled up next to me, and I go to sleep listening to these two little distinct voices, and it's just so soothing, and I just love them. So a lot of anticipation about years to come with these little guys. And these two little guys are two little, very happy, very delightful little monkeys. And I imagine their expectations in life is to be cared for and to be loved. And who could turn down little faces like that?
I would.
No, really? They are so cute. And I love this picture. It's a kitten looking in the mirror and seeing a lion. And the caption is, "What matters most is how you see yourself." And I imagine this little kitty is expecting to grow up and be ferocious and powerful and strong. I love this mystical picture of the horses coming through the water. It's something that I could meditate on. There's just something something touching about it. I don't know. It's something that I found online in animal photos. And I just really liked it a lot. I thought I wanted to share it with everyone. Do you all remember Secretariat? He's known as the most famous racehorse in history. And some 30 years ago, he won the Triple Crown and the final race is the Preakness. And he not only won it, he won it by 31 strides ahead of all the other horses. And that is just amazing, and I was reading on him, and it said that his record has not been broken in almost 40 years. And I know when I watched the movie Secretariat, that it was just thrilling to see, you know, the duplication of this race that he ran, and how far those 31 lengths are from where the other horses were. So his motivation, his expectation to be a winner was way beyond just being ahead. He left them all in the dust. So I thought that was wonderful. And I found a story about a jockey who had an unbelievable winning record. And it was noticed that when they got close to the end of the race, he would lean forward and he would whisper in his horse's ear. And so one day a reporter asked him, he said, "What's your secret to winning?" He said, "What is it that you say to your horse?" And he said, "I simply quote a little verse, and it says, 'Roses are red, violets are blue, horses that lose are made into glue.'" So we know what his horse's motivations were. That was motivating out of fear, I believe. And I wanted to, just this morning I found a little thing in my friend's book. It's Linnea Millett. She was born almost totally deaf, and today she's a national public speaker, and she has her own radio show. And she wrote this book called Read My Lips, Tips for Success. And I found this poem that she had included in here. And it's Our Greatest Fear by Marianne Williamson. Our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our greatest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. What are we motivated by? Is it by fear or by faith? What are our expectations for ourselves? And there's all kinds of expectancies around. There's weather expectancies, there's life and age expectancies, job expectancies, and so on. And I wanted to talk a little bit about life expectancy and age expectancy. Life expectancy is a forecast on how long we can expect to live. And age expectancy is what is expected of us at different ages and different stages of our life. And I found this sign, two old people walking across the street, and it says elderly people. Is there anybody in this room that wants to ever be called elderly? We tend to become like that which we identify ourselves with. Science of Mind says that for too long we have identified ourselves with that which is small, insecure, and uncertain. Now we must permit our consciousness, through faith, to rise to a greater and deeper realization of the divine presence forever delivering its nature to us. When we know and believe and expect that the healing presence of life is within us, forever restoring our minds and our bodies, would we ever identify with the term elderly? I think somebody called this guy elderly. And I love this old gal doing her leg lifts. Science of Mind says, life is activity, and when we stop being active, we turn away from the newness of life. And the person who grows old in years without an inward expectation and assurance that he is going to live forever, somewhere, he will find the last part of his life burdened with the thoughts of yesterday. Let us make up our minds that yesterday is gone. Tomorrow has not yet arrived. But today can be filled with wonder if we know that we stand on the threshold of that which is wonderful and new. Our lives are so tied in with God, the living spirit, that we cannot remain young and enthusiastic unless we know that we are one with that which knows no age and no burdens. Anybody here besides me watch NCIS? Wow, this picture of Mark Harmon, who had his 60th birthday this week. People magazine named him Sexiest Man Alive in 1986, and I don't think that's changed much. This is one of my favorite irises. Well, there it is again. It's called the immortality. Whoops. Hang on a second here.